Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Greetings, travelers!
Greetings, travelers.
It is me and Bo still mostly not. We're recording this earlier in September because of all our events. So, travelers, please forgive us that me and Bo are, you know, it's negotiated whether or not we have our at this point. But
it depends on the moment, you know.
It does. I have to say, so something interesting that was shared with us today, and we should throw this out on our social media, was the spikes in UFO reportings since Starlink was launched.
Like, so, everywhere too, like not even just like one spot. Like what did our thing say?
It was like California, New York. I know that, like,
I didn't even realize they were going out from all those places. Georgia. New York, California, Missouri, Georgia, North Carolina, and Florida. It all had a market increase in the last like couple of days.
Yeah, so it's just something where we'll share it with everybody. But, you know, travelers, note that there aren't UAPs or UFOs or unidentified really cool things. Just keep in mind that Starlink is there. People are constantly launching satellites into space and things like that. That's like a legitimate thing. So way back into the 50s and stuff, when we weren't launching at the rate of speed that we are, that was definitely easier. But before you jump to conclusions, do a little research to see if anybody launched anything before you assume you saw
a little picture of what Starlink looks like when it's launched.
Yes. No, please, please, please look at a picture of that, because there is a distinct look when satellites are launched into space. But we are in spine-tingling September. This is the last episode of spine-tingling September. So we thought it would be pretty cool to do one of our movie episodes, because we have not done a movie episode in a long time. So we decided, actually, this isn't the last episode, second to last episode. I know where my brain is. And so we decided.
It's in there somewhere. Who knows? Yes.
We decided to bring you our favorite zombie movies, TV shows. And we made Mark write them down. And he was super sad he couldn't be a part of this. But don't worry, you get some Mark feedback on some of these as well. But Bo, I want you to start. What are your things and stuff? Where do you want to begin this zombiness?
I'm going to start with a movie that's not very good, but I like.
Okay, anyway. I enjoy that. Let's start with a movie that's not very good.
The Resident Evil series, because they're bad movies, let's be real. But I just love like the concepts of the like zombie virus and stuff.
I'm going to actually agree with you. They are on my list. Why are they on my list? You might wonder, right? Is that I think for a video game movie, right? They take so many video games and turn them into movies, which is not bad. Don't get me wrong. I know a lot of people love, you know, Super Mario Brothers, and they had attempted to do that previously as a live thing.
Oh, no. Don't remind us of the 80s.
We're not going to talk about that. But I have to say, I actually, Mila Jovovich, who I love in these movies, absolutely love, I thought they did such a great job, especially with the first one, the mansion, everything. Because if you don't play the video game, travelers, you might not know this, but they actually pretty much followed a lot of the plot of the first video game. So
the visuals are really cool, like those like zombie dog things. All I wrote next to it was Wesker is the man. So I think I was just thinking about how cool Wesker is.
Well, I have to say, like, they did the backstory. They showed the hive. They showed how it got closed down from the one guy doing something. I don't want to give it away if you haven't seen it. It's an older movie, but I concur with you. I concur with Resident Evil, and I'm now going to mark it off the list of things that I want to talk about because you brought it up. I think we should throw in one of Mark's. You grab number one. I'll do number two for him when we do this, but okay. Go ahead.
So as we would assume with Mark, his top movie is from the 70s because that's what he loves. So he says Dawn of the Dead from 1978. And he says the remake is fun, but the original is a masterpiece of tension and horror. It really did feel like you were there with the survivors. Early makeup and on-screen from Savini is a highlight. The whole Romero series is the reason zombies even still exist in media. They had died off, but they were resurrected with Night Perfected in Dawn. I also am a big fan of Land of the Dead, just for Big Daddy. Gene Clark's master performance of the great alpha zombie.
Of course, of course. So I think we do need to pay homage to Dawn of the Dead because, I mean, did, oh my gosh, words.
One of the, all the Romero ones.
Yes, Dawn of the Dead. Now, I'm going to say this. Day of the Dead, I think it was, had them in a shopping mall, right? And what I loved about that movie, there's so much cheese on that movie, but they had this army guy named Bud that was a zombie that they were training to do things because that was the whole premise. Maybe we could train these zombies to do stuff. And that was one of the first costumes I did as a teenager was of Bud, the zombie. We went to a cemetery in Los Angeles. A friend was dressed as a ghost. Another, I was like a vampire. I don't know. I was dressed as a zombie. And there were, of course, all these kids in the cemetery, which people do on Halloween. That's a whole other episode. But I came over this hill, and there was these kids sitting by this grave drinking. And I was like, oh, never mind. Walking Dead, all this stuff wasn't out. One of them literally peed himself and couldn't move. And the others, like, took off. It was hysterical to me at the time and a little mean. I'm going to be honest. I know it was a little mean. But yes, Bud from Day of the Dead was one of my favorite characters to do. So if you haven't seen those, check them out.
Do you want to hear a hot take that may or may not get me as canceled as your Twilight take?
Oh, yeah. Oh, do. Yeah.
Right. So George Romero is the GOAT. He is a master of horror and stuff.
Yeah.
But the movies from the 70s, to me, seem a little dated and not very impressive. But that's because I grew up with bigger special effects and more different makeup techniques and stuff. So on my list is not the Romero ones, but it is the Zack Snyder remakes of these movies. So I...
They are good. And that, I mean, I don't think it's unpopular. I think this is one of those things where, you know, at that time, like Night of the Living Dead at the time was terrifying that, you know, the early, I mean, because nobody.
With the hands coming out of the ground and stuff.
Yeah. And the thought that the dead could come back to life. That's the whole premise of zombies. And zombies have been around forever. And it hasn't been just the reanimated dead. I mean, if you really look at it, Frankenstein is a zombie, right? About it, Frankenstein is a zombie because he is pieces of a dead person resurrected and to come to life. And then there is, which I'm not going to go into much detail, I think we need to have a future episode about, you know, zombies in other cultures such as voodoo and stuff like that, where it's not a bring back somebody from the dead, but it's sort of mentally incapacitating somebody so they're now doing your wishes. But I think the whole theory of people being dead and coming back from the dead has been terrifying. It's just, to the, your point, we're at a stage where so much has been presented with us from a gore and stuff factor. It's sort of leveled up what we need to expect from a movie to be terrifying. I mean, Psycho was a terrifying movie when it came out. Like, people were like, oh my God, and the chocolate syrup that was used for blood in the shower, even though you never actually saw her stabbed. It was just great cinematography and editing. Mm-hmm. Back then, now we're like, that wouldn't fly. Like, you could.
Yeah, we're like, that looks silly. Like, why do we not see the knife go into her chest?
Exactly. Exactly.
Because that's how I felt when I watched Night of the Living Dead. Like, I was a grown up too. I know a lot of people saw it when they were like younger. So I was just like, this is silly. I understand why it's a hallmark of horror, but to me, I'm just like, I've seen it before. I know it was the progenitor of all these things, but I'm like, to me, it's not the first one I've seen. So I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. So I agree with you. I think that it's worth it, though, to see some of the OG origin stories. Also, a lot of it was relying more on the acting, I think. Not that the acting in the new ones isn't good, but, you know, it's one thing to shock somebody with a scary, you know, face falling off thing. It's very different to have to portray that fear and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a little different. Of course, travelers, let us know what you think as we're going through these, because
They're going to yell at me.
They're going to yell at me. I can bring up my age-old thing and get in the way. Okay, so I want to do one of my favorite zombie movies, which is kind of a little bit of a different zombie movie in a way, which is The Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
I've never seen this. Please describe it.
I would love to describe it. It is about a zombie thing starts to occur, and it has to do with Boy Scouts and a babysitter and all this stuff and them, you know, doing it. But it's very fun because a lot of zombie movies take place where somebody is suddenly in this situation. Now, some of them on my list are, that's not the case, right? But they're suddenly encountering this zombie, which these guys do, right? But these are scouts. They are prepared. They put their stuff together, which is it's sort of a different take. And it's got a lot of humor and there's some cheese and stuff in it. But it is one of my favorites because they're not all like kids that have no idea what to do or what's going on. Like, they do have that correct mentality start to kick in. So they are able to handle things. And it's just a funny, fun zombie romp. So Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse is on my list of top five. Well, okay, what's next up for you, Bo?
On my list is Warm Bodies.
Oh, that's on my list too. Oh my God, I love Warm. Okay, you talk about what it is, but I'm going to chime in. I love that movie. Love it.
So Warm Bodies is about a boy who sort of wakes up realizing that now he's a zombie. Like, he comes back into consciousness as a zombie and is learning how to be a zombie, but he's also in love with this girl who's human. And so it's like a really sweet love story, but like there's gore in it and like dark comedy. And I recently started following the author of the books on TikTok. And a lot of people don't know is it's a whole trilogy. There are three books.
Well, now I'm going to have to buy the books.
Yeah. But I guess what happened was the first one was such a success. Like, it made lots of money. And then I guess the second one made less. So his publisher was just like, bye. You know, you're not making as much money for us. And so he put out the third one, like, kind of quietly. And I guess people just don't know about it. But I think that's great. And I love that people are, like, learning from the author again. And I hope he gets more movie deals for the other two. Because it was a really sweet movie, and I liked it a lot.
It was. And I think this is another one that I love, because it starts off, the zombie apocalypse has already occurred. The humans created a walled-off city that they're living in, but they're having to do scavenge missions to try to find things, as they would in a situation like that. And this particular zombie lives at the airport, the lead character, on a plane, and knows he's a zombie. He knows he's been dead. Doesn't know for how long. They don't retain a lot of their memories. And to him, his name is R. But what's funny is you get the zombie's perspective in this movie, because he has a best friend that also lives at the airport, and they grunt at each other.
It's like teach, and he like shows him zombie stuff. It seems like his friend has been a zombie for longer than he has.
Yeah.
And he like, they like grunt at each other and like point at stuff. And I love that they live at the airport, because you know me, I love an airport. And I think if I was a zombie, that's also where I would go.
Yes, I heavily, heavily recommend Warm Bodies. It is one of my favorite. There is gore, and there is even what happens to zombies when they go full zombie, right? Because there are creatures in this, and they end up having to interact and deal with them that are full zombie creatures, right? And they're very different. So, yes, I can.
Yeah, like they have no spark of humanity left in them.
Exactly.
Like, R does, and that's why he like falls for the girl and stuff. But the other ones have nothing. It's just hunger.
I am going to go for Mark's next one, which Mark made me watch. This is a made me watch one, which is Fido. So Fido is, if you combine the Fallout games with a zombie apocalypse, you get kind of Fido. So Fido is set, it seems like in the 1950s, basically, 50s housewife. I know Mark, he says this, it's one of the best zombie movies of all time. He's like, I don't want to say too much because it'll spoil it. So many great characters. Billy Connolly and Carrie Ann Moss are epic together. They're the leads in this. I will say Fido is not what you expect of a zombie movie. It is, in a way, kind of cheeky and funny, and actually reminds me a little bit of what Ed Wood would have directed. He didn't direct this, but it's kind of that flavor. It's kind of like Crybaby meets zombies in a way, that movie Crybaby. Like, I agree with Mark. Fido is a lot of fun, and you absolutely should watch it. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's definitely not what you expect, and I really like that they – I'm a sucker for movies that do, like, the – 50s aesthetic and like kind of turn it on its head a little bit. And yeah, Fido is a good movie.
Okay. So I'm going to throw one out there that I think a lot of people don't necessarily think about as a zombie movie. Death Becomes Her.
I've never seen it. I know that's horrible.
Yeah, no, they're remaking it, but the original one had Bruce Willis, Goldie Hawn, and Meryl Streep. Like, brilliant cast. And it is about a woman who gets basically a potion to keep her young forever. Two of them do this. And I don't want to give too much away, but they end up accidentally kind of killing each other, but they're not dead. It's a comedy, right? But it's a really interesting look. Now, the only difference is they don't have to eat flesh or brains or stuff like that. And I don't necessarily qualify that a zombie has to eat flesh or brains or things like that, because I feel
they just have to be reanimated dead. And
dead is a zombie, right? It's not a vampire, like not brought back to life through the, you know, glittery Twilight bites. So I would say Death Becomes Her is one of my favorites because it's just such a brilliantly acted movie. It just is amazing. So you need to watch
that one. Is one that I've seen like back in the day when there was Blockbuster Video. Like, I remember seeing the movie cover and that like VHS cover of that movie with the arm through her stomach with the chandelier. Like, it is ingrained in my head. It's such a cool visual.
You got to watch it, because that is, it is, that whole scene with the hole in her stomach is probably one of the funniest scenes in the movie. But yeah, absolutely. Travelers, grab some popcorn, things like that, you know, maybe a charcuterie plate, and then regret doing that because it looks like fleshy stuff as you're watching zombies eat and watch some of these movies. So what about you? What's next for you?
I know we've kind of allowed ourselves to go into TV, the realm of TV. And I have Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. Santa Clarita Diet, which is with Drew Barrymore and what is his name? Oh my gosh.
Timothy Oliphant.
Oh, and
he's so hot.
He's so hot, but this is such just a great, great thing. Nathan Fillion does a guest spot in it, which is hysterical. Their two children, their child and the next door neighbor's child, which are teenagers that play a role in all this. Brilliant. I think it's what, 3 seasons on Netflix that you can watch? Is it 3 or 4?
And I think it's 3, and you have to be prepared because it ends on a cliffhanger, but it's still worth it to watch the entirety. Sometimes I watch it again just for fun. I like that the zombie thing in that was like a weird, like, fleshy thing that like would like connect to people, kind of like a tumor, and then they would get like zombie stuff going on. And Nathan Fillion is so funny in it.
And I don't want to give away the thing, but absolutely. And it's, you know, Drew Barrymore's character is a realtor and trying to still exist because she doesn't like necessarily have parts of her fall off. There's a whole thing about that, but it's not like they die that way. So it's a different take, which makes it really, really fun. But yes, I agree.
She definitely has like the desire for like human flesh though. And that leads to a lot of escapades with her like normal husband who has to help her out. And I love that they are like the most loving couple and he's willing to do whatever it takes to make sure his wife is happy and doing well.
And we mean whatever it takes to
make whatever,
Okay, well, you want to do Mark's next one? Because Mark's next one is also one that I am a rabid, rabid fan
of. Oh, same, same. This is all top number one on my list. Best movie ever. And it is Shaun of the Dead from 2004. He calls it magnificent perfection of the horror comedy. And he is correct because it is. It was made by Edgar Wright and it was part of a trilogy of movies that aren't related to each other. Besides that, like there's a ice cream flavor that like exists in all three universes. And this one is a guy, like he's a loser basically. Like he's at a dead end job. His girlfriend's about to leave him. He only like goes and drinks at the pub every weekend or every day, essentially, with his loser best friend.
Yeah, it's Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. And it's what is hysterical, I feel, about Shaun of the Dead and what I loved. And this doesn't give anything away, but the opening sequence, he wakes up. He's late for work. He's getting himself ready. He works at like a Radio Shack, basically.
Yeah.
Radio Shack electronics store, and he's walking to work, and in the background you see zombies shambling and stuff like that. He is totally oblivious to it. He goes to the local store to get an energy drink, and literally one of my favorite parts of the beginning of this movie is he opens the cooler door, and we're seeing the cooler door has these bloody handprints down it,
and he just does not notice. This is his same day every day. So he's just like daydreaming through it. And it takes him what, like 24, 36 hours before he realizes things are messed up.
What it takes is his girlfriend is changed into a zombie and attacks him. Like that's what it takes for him to realize what is.
No, it was his roommate.
Roommate. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Roommate. That's what it takes for him to realize it's happening. And it is hysterical because he literally gets this drink, goes to the counter. There's nobody at the counter. There is a zombie shambling towards him in the background of this store. And he's like, whatever, leaves money on the counter, walks out. There is a zombie out. Like, he is so oblivious to this entire thing. And it's sheer perfection. And then it has one of the grossest zombie scenes in the pub that I feel like has ever been filmed. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
To the Queen song?
Yes.
I love that scene. So, and I watch this movie religiously every Halloween. It is my tradition. The kids love trick-or-treating. And I just like watching horror movies. So after we do trick-or-treating and they go to bed, and I finally like get to do what I want to do, that movie.
Oh my God. We all concur. It's probably in one of the number one spot there. I have one that goes above that one for a completely different reason, but I'll save that till near the end because I peeked at Mark's list and it's not on his list. So I'm not sure if it's on yours, but we'll see. We'll see. I want to mention another one that I think that I want to mention, read the book or listen to the book. Do not watch this movie as far as
I know what it is.
Okay. World War Z.
Yeah.
You knew. I know you knew. Brad Pitt, I love you in the face so very much. And I appreciate what everyone tried to do with this movie. And you guys out there listening might be like, that is a great zombie movie. It's not the book.
If you read the book, they're not the same thing. I think if they had just called the Brad Pitt movie anything else, it would have been fine. Like, we would look back at it as a good zombie movie because it had, like, it had really cool scenes in it. But because we associate it with the book, which it is not like, I think it kind of set it up for failure.
I agree. And that's one of my, you know, that's one of the things that it made me very sad, because here's what I will recommend, travelers, because you guys do travel. Some of you guys are on the road a lot. Get the audiobook, because the audiobook is voiced, because the son of Mel Brooks wrote this book. And with whatever star power he got some of the most amazing voice actors: Mark Hamill, Will Wheaton, Nathan Fillion. Like, I can't even list all of them that did this audiobook. And the audiobook is actually a chronicled history after this zombie incident has occurred. And it's really a reporter going back and interacting with people in different places of the world, with them saying what happened and at different points in the history of this particular sort of apocalypse that had occurred. So
yeah, he pulls like dossiers and stuff. I think that one works better as an audiobook, and like reading it as like an audio drama, because you just reading it, it kind of feels like a slog, because you have to like mentally shift every time the POV changes to like another scenario, which is rough. But if you have the different voices, it, you know, helps a lot.
Exactly. So it's one of those things I'm just going to throw out there. Grab the audiobook, travelers. I think you will absolutely thoroughly enjoy it. We'll put a link in the show notes for that particular audiobook where you can get it, because it's brilliant. But the movie, if you don't know the book, is a good zombie movie. It's a different kind of premise, that sort of thing. However, it is not the book, and therefore makes me sad. So
I honestly don't understand why they use the name, because it's not, I don't even know if the characters are the same. Like, I don't even know if that character comes up.
There's a couple character names that are the same, but this is one of those instances where I feel like Hollywood read the back of the book and whoever wrote the actual script, I feel like, did not actually understand the premise of the book or how to do it, because it could have been done in such a great way. But you know what I would love to see? I'm just throwing this out there. Anybody listening? I would love to see somebody make this into an episodic TV show where each of those chapters, each of those, you know, going back in time, is its own situation, because there is some jumping back and forth to certain situations, but I think it could be done that way with the reporter as the lead character taking you through the story. That would be great. So I'm throwing that out there. I hope.
Yeah. If they did the vibes of like that movie, what was it called? Contagion.
Yeah.
Where like it slowly meanders through this virus. I think that would be really cool.
I agree. So with that, travelers, we're going to take a quick break and come back with some honorable mentions, which we'll quickly go through, and then some of our other top zombie movies or TV shows. So here's a word from our sponsor, and we'll see you in a moment.
It's on, the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. Buy two select laundry appliances and get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop all things Maytag, including the new stackable Pet Pro laundry system that removes pet hair from clothes. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Most know Florida as the land of endless sunny beaches, but the state is home to numerous eerie legends and mysterious creatures. The Everglades is home to the elusive skunk ape. In Key West lies an uncanny doll reputed to have a life of its own. Join Mark Muncy and illustrator Kira Carrie Schultz as they uncover the history behind the state's creepiest stories and unusual locations. The Dark Side of the Sunshine State, presented in Erie, Florida, from History Press.
And we're back. We're back. So hopefully you're still not sending us angry emails about what. Let us get through the whole episode, and then you can send us angry emails, Travel.
I'm sorry I talked bad about George Romero.
That may be worse than my entire Twilight zombie thing, but we'll see.
I'm going to get screamed at.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to throw Mark's next top one up here. Which is The Train to Busan, which is a 2016 movie. He's not a fan of fast zombies in general, but this movie makes it work. No one you expect to survive the movie does, which I love, which is similar to Deep Blue Sea. Eventually we'll have to do shark movies. Ooh, that'll be
fun. God, I love Deep Blue Sea.
I really do. We can do a whole episode on that, but no one you expect to survive the movie does. Nothing you expect to happen in this movie goes the way you expect it. You fall in love with characters you didn't expect to, and you really hate the ones you knew you would. It's a modern classic. He says the sequel is fun, but this is a must watch for horror fans. So I haven't seen this. Have you seen The Train to Busan?
I haven't seen it, and I know I'll love it, but I just, you know, don't have time. Too many kids in my house.
Well, maybe when we're Mothman, Bo, me and you should watch Train to Busan. We'll do that.
Because we'll have our own room for once, and we can watch it.
Yes, I love it. So we'll have to check that out. So Mark's Train to Busan. Before we get going further, I want to listed some runner-up fun watches. There are some I want to list, and I know you have a couple too, right?
Yeah.
He says he loves zombie horror comedies, so here are some fun ones that definitely to watch. So here we go. Dead Snow, 2009. Nazi zombies with an actual plot, and he says the sequel is fun as well. Cockney versus Zombies, 2013. Zombies attack an old folks' home featuring some great British actors. Oh, that's actually pretty funny. Paranorman, 2012. Stop motion zombie fun for kids. I've seen this one. It's very much like
that one's cute. Yeah.
Right before Christmas. Yeah. Ah, Zombies, 2007. Teens get turned into zombies, but they think everyone else is turned into fast monsters. So it's fun to watch in a great comedy from a zombie's point of view. I've seen this. This one is actually really funny because it's at no point in time do they think that everybody else has problems and they're fine, but they're super slow.
Everyone else is fine. They just perceive them as weirdly fast while they're the ones who are weirdly slow.
Exactly. And the last one he listed as a fun watch is One Cut of the Dead from 2019. It's a filmmaker making a zombie movie gets attacked by zombies.
That sounds cool.
And to say more will ruin the surprise. So we'll throw these lists up, everyone, so you can go through them. So, Bo, what are your sort of fun ones you want to mention? Because I have a couple fun ones to mention, too. But what are your fun ones?
So I'm glad that Mark mentioned Paranorman because I love when kids get an opportunity to see something horror related, like adjacent. Like, I love that my kids right now are really into like Five Nights at Freddy's and like those kind of like scary with like bumpers on. Like, it's not quite there yet, but it gives, you know, the illusion that they're seeing something scary. Because I want to have some horror loving kids. So I mentioned the movie Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
Ah.
Have you seen it?
No.
So good. It's one of those Scooby-Doo movie adventures where you're not sure if what they're experiencing is real or not. It's one of those ones where you're like, okay, it should be a man in the mask because that's, you know, Scooby-Doo. That's what always happens. But you're kind of like, is it? Is it not? And it has like really cool like chase scenes in it. You know, Scooby-Doo loves a chase scene. And I highly recommend it for kids and adults who just like really loved Scooby-Doo as a kid. And I was a dog show kind of kid. And like, we've talked about it before. I was in the 101 Dalmatians real bad. So Scooby-Doo was also up there. And I even like Scrappy-Doo. I know everyone else is not. Wow, but that's my
everyone off this showboat. Like,
I know they're like they're gonna be like, "Oh, cancel her. She's not allowed on the show."
Oh my god!
But I did. You know, I like Scrappy-Doo.
I have to say, I actually love as an adult going back and watching like Scooby-Doo because I feel as an adult very much like SpongeBob too. If you watch these as an adult, you see a different show than you saw. Yeah. When younger, like a completely different show than you saw. So I'll have to check that out because I do love me some Scooby-Doo. Another fun one I want to throw out that's not technically a zombie movie, but I feel like it is a zombie movie in a way. It's zombie adjacent is Pet Sematary.
Oh, I love Pet Sematary.
Because,
and as we all know, Mark has a really great impression from Pet Sematary. Yeah. So if you ever meet Mark, ask him to do his Pet Sematary impression. It's amazing.
I think that the Pet Sematary, what you don't think about, because, you know, when we have like this weird sort of narrow view, I think most of us, of what a zombie movie is. But in Pet Sematary, and I'm not giving away the plot, they go rebury these people in an Indian burial ground and then they come back. That's reanimated dead to me, right? No matter how you slice it. That is absolutely reanimated dead. So, yeah, that is a zombie adjacent movie that I think, and I will say I'm just going to throw this out there, book to movie thing. It's not the book. It really isn't. But
no, it's not. They're very different.
Yeah, I love the OG Pet Sematary. I know a lot of people like the new. I love the original one. So that's where I'm going to go with that.
Have you seen Pet Sematary 2?
No, not at all.
I actually highly recommend it because it's silly, but it kind of leans a little bit more into like the whole zombie aspect of it. And there's a scene involving a bicycle that still makes me laugh to this day. I don't think you were supposed to laugh at it, but I did.
Okay, well, I'll check it out. I'm making a list myself of things to watch, so I will check it out. What's another one of yours?
28 Days Later.
Okay, so Mark mentions this too. I don't know why Mark doesn't feel fast-moving zombies or zombies. I think it's hysterical. But 28 Days Later, the one thing about them is I don't think they're dead when they get this particular virus. Like, you're alive, and it's almost like a rabies-type virus.
Yeah, like, because there's that scene in the beginning where, like, the girl has, like, weird rabies like symptoms, like Cillian Murphy finds that video or whatever, because, you know, you have to have something happen so he knows what's going on. And so he's watching this video of this woman who kind of, I think she's, you know, normal and alive, but she's having these symptoms, and then suddenly she kills like everybody in this hospital, which is very cool. And I still think it counts though, because
it's just, it's a little bit of a different take. What's really interesting is when you get into the 28, you know, you have the 28 days later, then you have the 28 months later, you know, or weeks later, sorry. And then I think they meant the 28 months later, but I think they're also working on like doing, there's a lot of talk about 20 years.
With Cillian Murphy back again, which would be awesome because I love him very much.
Yes. So shout out to that one. I'm going to throw the other one out because it's on my list, but you know Mark. We all know Mark. We have to talk about Bruce Campbell. So the Evil Dead movies, I also, by our standard of a zombie is a corpse that gets repossessed, all of the Evil Dead movies fall into this category because they're animated corpses. Now they're animated with demons, which is a very different take on it. Mark's like, the Evil Dead movies do not have zombies, but I need to mention them. They do have zombies. They're animated corpses. However they get animated, it doesn't matter. Because we've talked about, you know, animating because of viruses, animating because, you know, all kinds of things. You know, putting them in an Indian burial ground, radiation. Like, zombies come back for all kinds of reasons. And there is just a cheese level to those movies that makes them completely brilliant and funny. So I think it's hysterical, and it would not be apropos to not mention the Evil Dead movies and that, but that throws a zombie adjacent movie into this to me, which is the Bubba Hotep with Bruce Campbell. Is a zombie.
We are throwing Mark a bone right now because he loves Bubba Hotep. I know so he loves much. Bubba
Hotep. So I'm throwing it out there because, man, is that not one of the most. Now, I'm going to give this warning. Mark freaking loves this movie, guys. Like Mark,
so much.
This is a sword Mark will die on every single time.
He locked us in a room and made us watch it.
He did. This movie is a little slow for me, but there is a lot of brilliant actors. The storyline is really, really good, how it's built around this, but definitely those two are zombie adjacent movies. So absolutely, shout out to Mark on that one. And he'll listen to this and he'll be like, they mentioned Bruce Campbell. So whatever the hell, right? So with that, Bo, what's one of your next ones? Because I have a total of... I have one more. One more adjacent I'm going to throw out because a lot of people won't think about it. Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, because the boy. What's Billy. His name?
Billy is a zombie. Yep. So they bring him back. Like, that is absolutely pulling the dead out of the ground and doing that. So that is a zombie adjacent movie that I watch that every single Halloween with my family.
I had such a crush on Billy.
You know what? I'm not surprised by that. You're a weirdo. Yeah. So I'm not surprised by that at all. Okay. What is one of your next ones?
All right. So this is actually my last one. And it is right now, I think because it's so fresh in my mind, it's like top tier for me, is The Last of Us.
Oh my God. That's on my list.
And I'm not just talking about the show, which I love. The show is brilliant. I also love Pedro Pascal. Dreamy. No.
I love Pedro Pascal. I will say this. The Last of Us, it's a different kind of zombie situation because this is sort of a plant type virus.
Mushroom virus that goes in cordyceps or whatever they're called.
Yeah. So it is a different take. I will say this about The Last of Us too. There is episode 3, which is with Nick Offerman. Yeah. And he won so many awards for this. I'm getting goosebumps. He won so many awards for this, but probably one of the most brilliant pieces of cinematic anything in the entire world is that episode.
I cried so much.
Yes.
So much.
But what I love about this, again, the apocalypse has already happened. They're dealing with this apocalypse happening. They're dealing with the cure. Is what this sort of centers around. I don't want to give much more of that away. And a potential for solving what is occurring in the world. And I will say what I love about this one, which is different than a couple of the other ones that I want to mention, is this is very much around the survivors and not glorifying what's happening with these creatures. They're there in the world, but they're not sort of glorified as to what's happening with them, right? Like that. Right.
They're not the centerpiece. They're not their biggest problem. Their biggest problem is like dealing with other humans and other like factions of people who like live in different environments because they're trying to survive.
Yeah.
And I would say if you have not played the games, even if you're not a gamer, I would play them on story mode. Both of them, but Last of Us 2 is brilliant. I played it recently. I've started playing video games relatively recently, and that was one of the first I played. So now everything else kind of sucks because that one was so good.
It is. It's yes. And they're getting so much better with it. So, okay. So you brought that one up. I'm going to throw out one, and I'm saving Mark's last one that he gave us for a couple of minutes from now, but Cabin in the Woods.
That came up on so many lists, but I can't recall how it was a zombie movie.
Because when they choose the item downstairs, they bring back basically a zombie family is what attacks them, remember? Like what goes after them is this zombie family. Not that that is at its core. Cabin in the Woods is its own unique Gosh, brilliant. And if I could make a horror movie continue as a franchise, I would have loved to have seen that continue. Unfortunately, Goss Wheaton, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
Not choose the director of this, but damn, that movie was so good. And if you have not watched that movie, Travelers, it is an absolute must this Halloween season. Cabin in the Woods, by far, just because, again, unlike a lot of horror movies and even some of the ones we've mentioned, that it's just like they're in a house and zombies attack them, right? Like that's the plot. Is this has such a weird kind of intricate plot that is so bizarre, right?
It's an homage to all these kind of movies that we love and these tropes that we love and these kind of characters that we love, but they kind of like twist it around a little. And I went into that movie not knowing what to expect at all, because I was just going by the title and it was a wild ride. Yeah, I highly recommend it. I still don't think it's a zombie movie. It has zombies in it.
Well, ergo, it's a zombie. Hocus Pocus has zombies in it.
True.
I'm going to throw out one of Mark's last one that he mentioned, which is REC from 2000.
Yeah, Wreck.
It is found footage, which is one of his go-tos. He loves it. Blair Witch, all that, right? So this is apparently a Spanish flick that makes you feel like you're at ground zero of a zombie outbreak. He says he can't recommend it enough. Probably the only zombie movie that's really scared him when it came out. Wow, that's a lot of homage. And by the time he was into horror comedies, this had turned the undead around again. So I think that, so Wreck,
Spanish I've movie. Seen it. And I what I really liked about it is it feels very like claustrophobic, because you are just seeing like one camera shot, and they're in this apartment building kind of thing going up and down stairs, and the like monster zombie reveal is kind of gross and cool at the same time.
Mark is saying that the Wreck 2, he noted Wreck 2 is also good too. So
yeah.
And anyway, so that's one to check out. Okay. So mention another TV show that literally I rewatch it because to me it's hysterical. iZombie.
I still haven't seen it. I know you both love it so much.
iZombie.
I just haven't had a chance to watch it.
iZombie is to me so thoroughly amazing because it's about this girl who works in a coroner's office, right? She's and they get the zombie disease and they don't. There's symptoms of turning zombie, but they get it from a soda, basically, an energy drink is kind of what does this. So what happens is they need to eat brains and they have to come up with ways. And the way you can tell they're a zombie is their hair turns white, amongst other things. So it's a whole thing. And she's trying to keep her job and her boyfriend.
But do everyone know that that zombies are a thing? In the universe?
In the universe, they start to find out, and then they want to have them in a separate part of the... It gets into Politico, and it's cheesy, but the girl who is the lead in Ghosts, the U.S. version of Ghosts, plays the lead in this zombie, and it is brilliant. The bad guy is brilliant. Like, they're just... It's amazing, and I can't speak highly enough about it, and... I love it. And I think it's like 6 seasons or something. It ends pretty well. So if you get a chance, binge iZombie, because it is how zombies would interact if they were still kind of sentient, right? But they have the hunger to eat brain. So all the clever. And one of the things is they love cooking. So the spicier, the better. So every episode she is making brains. It's not like they kill people, rip off their head and eat their, like, it's very like, how do they perfect eating brains? And then when they do eat the brains, they get the memories of the person that they ate the brains of. So it's
that sounds like it's good for her job. Like,
yeah, it's a whole crime fighting episodic thing, and her trying to explain how she knows things but can't say she's a zombie so she doesn't get quarantined in the world and blah blah blah. Like, it's, there's a lot of layers to this particular one, and I highly recommend it. You know, of course, Mark, the final thing I'll say that he said on his notes that Mark can't stop himself is there's a Middleman episode where there is a zombie fish. So if you've not seen Middleman, Yeah, I loved it. I am so sorry it was canceled. I feel like it was definitely ahead of its time, but Mark would hands down. Okay, so we've now mentioned Middleman. I'm just going to throw this out there because there were zombies in this game, which is Bureau 13. There are zombies in the game. Getting over it. Good. I've mentioned all three of the Mark things. We can now move on. So the one thing before I reveal my number one, I'm saving my number one for the end. We need to talk about The Walking Dead. So The Walking
Dead. Episode one is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect television. I will say
one of the things I love about the first episode of The Walking Dead, the original, the OG series, right, is Rick gets in a car accident, Rick Grimes, and he wakes up. For those, I'm literally not spoiler alert on any of this, catch up. But one of the things that I love is he wakes up in the hospital, right? And it's very quiet. The machines aren't beep because the power is now off, right? So one of the things I loved about this scene, right? And I want to go back to something because some people might not remember what happened with this. This is a comic book, by the way. The comic book is way more graphic, believe it or not, than the TV show. It is way harder to read in a way. I'm just trigger warnings there because some horrible stuff happens in the TV show. Obviously, it is worse in the comic books, right?
Yeah. It's very good, though.
It is good.
I recommend.
I'm warning, like, if you pick it up, there's stuff they do.
If you're expecting the show, it's not the show.
No, it's way darker. So, but there's a scene where an AMC picked up The Walking Dead back when AMC was trying to sort of get its foot in the TV world because it used to just show old movies, the American Movie Channel. And they took a chance and they saw this and were like, zombies? What? Okay. We'll give you 8 episodes. Like, they were like, you know, here's a little money. We'll give you 8 episodes. And, you know, this movie was very much cast with they're brilliant actors. Don't get me wrong, but they weren't well-known actors, right? When they cast it, because they were lower budget kind of situation. And I will say that, like, that first episode, so Rick Grimes wakes up in a hospital. It's quiet. It's deadly quiet. He wakes up in the bed. The flowers next to him have died. Right. And you can tell there's nobody he's, you know, expecting his wife, a lot of things. Right. He wakes up in the hospital. He then tries to go out in the hallway and there's a gurney in front of his door, which is weird. Like, why is that? Like,
yeah.
I love that it took you through sort of his view of this happening. Right. And then he goes down the hallway. There's nobody. I mean, you could see there's destruction, but there's nobody in this hospital and he's looking for people. And one of my favorite scenes is when he encounters the cafeteria doors that have a chain on them that say, don't open, dead inside. And the fingers kind of come through the door when he's looking at it. I loved that he gets to start in our POV, our point of view of this whole thing, gets to start when this has already happened, right? This has already gone on, and it's gone on for some time. He has been at this hospital, right?
Yeah.
Lost a ton of weight. Like, he's coming out when all this has already occurred. He wasn't conscious during the motion of all this stuff, right? And he comes out and has no idea what's happening. Because remember, the first zombie he encounters outside of the ones inside that hospital is the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
With the stuffed animal. And I actually thought they did really, really well with this series in general. I'm going to be honest, I stopped watching after the Negan episodes, and it's one that I've decided I really need to pick up again. But I thought, you know, that, and then this, I think it's the second or third episode where they're all in the department store and they realize they need to go get a truck so they can get all these people out, right? And they've come to realize that if they cover themselves and move really slowly, because they don't quite understand how the zombies know where they are, but they kind of figure out that if they cover themselves with stuff and walk really slowly, which is what they're going to have to do to go get this vehicle, right? There's that scene where it's Rick and Glenn walking to get the truck, right? And it suddenly starts to rain.
Oh, and all the stuff starts coming off of them.
Yeah. And that scene, if you guys, travelers, go back and literally watch that scene. because I remember sitting there and I could feel what those characters were feeling. Like that moment of like hope that is dashed completely by this weather phenomenon. And I thought this was written so incredibly well that I was feeling that, right? Like I was feeling that terror for them that this had happened. And I have to say, like, they did such a good job. And the thing a lot of people don't realize is not once in that entire series do they say the word zombie. They're walkers. They're all kinds of things, but they never say the word zombies.
I do love that the scene you just mentioned is a scene that also happens in Shaun of the Dead, where they pretend to be zombies to, like, get through them, but they're played so differently with the same outcome. It's very funny.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's true. But I think it's always interesting because it's interesting when they set the stage and they make it. And, you know, of course, and I'm, again, this show has been out for a while, so if you haven't watched it, it's on you. But what I think is becomes really interesting from a hope standpoint, too, is when they realize that this virus is now inside of everybody and it doesn't matter who you are. If your brain's not destroyed when you die, you're getting back up again. And like when we get to season two with the hordes of zombies, right? Where there's like, and I feel like they did such a good job most of the time of ensuring that there was this tension, right? That you felt. There's so much of it and they did such a good job. And the character actors, like the cast was amazing. And I will say this for those that decide to read the comic book, Daryl Dixon was not in the original comic book.
Don't expect Norman Reedus to be in the comic. He is not there. He's, I know, everyone loves him for some reason, but he's not there.
Yeah, he was written in later, and I love me some Norman Reedus. So, woo, shout out to Daryl Dixon. But if you're expecting to find him, if he's your ride or die, he's not in the beginning comic books before this show was made because, again, he was an ancillary character like Merle. You know, like these were characters that honestly were supposed to, because we all know nobody is safe from being killed off in this show, which is another thing I like. So,
and they don't shy away from killing kids either. Like, you got to prepare yourself for that if you're going to watch it.
You know, we're all over an hour a little bit. So one of the things I was going to do last thing is probably my favorite. And it has so many of the elements of everything I absolutely love, including being a humorous movie, Zombieland. Zombieland, I think they did such a brilliant, Woody Harrelson, like that whole cast, Emma Stone, like, I can't even with how hysterical this movie is. And the narrator, you know, the lead character, he's trying to explain in his rules for Zombieland. And it's so funny because his character is not the, you know, Woody Harrelson's more like the hero type character. Emma Stone, like they're willing to do what's needed to be done. This lead character, it's so funny that he is so anal retentive and like rule number blah and rule number blah. And Zombieland.
It just shows you how different personality people would react to the same situation that's so like out of left field for normal humans to deal with.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good movie. I like the Twinkies.
Yeah, the Twinkies. But I also think what is funny about this movie is it starts off with a character that in all of these things that we've mentioned before, kind of, would not be the survivor. Like, this is not the person, if you had to pick the people who would survive a zombie apocalypse, he is not one of the people that would, you know, do the zombie apocalypse. And I think that's hysterical, and I love it. If you have not seen it, you absolutely need to watch it, Zombieland. Zombieland 2 is good, too, but Zombieland, the first one, every time that thing pops on, I have to watch it. And I will just say this, because I don't want to give this away if you have not watched this movie. Bill Murray, I freaking love you. That's all I'm going to say. Bill Murray, I freaking love you. And with that, that rounds out our zombie movies and TV shows. So, Bo, what do you think? What do you think? I got a list now. I have a list. I hope travelers have a list.
I'm just excited to watch Train to Busan with you next week.
Yes. We're going to do it. Done and done. So with that, travelers, and because Mark's not here, this is what I'm going to say. Every Bruce Campbell movie is a gem. It doesn't matter what it is. If you haven't played Bureau 13 yet, you need to do that immediately. Middleman is the TV show that should be remade a million times. And make sure that if you do watch it, you find on YouTube the table read for the last episode, because it didn't get made, but they did put together a last episode to close out that series. And don't forget that if somebody's coming towards you and wants to bite you, consent is a thing, so make sure you approve of it. And if you do get turned into a zombie, do your best for maximum carnage. And with that, we will see you on the other side.
Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need, when you need them, at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.